Gotta respect the bell. Thank you, one and all, for respecting the bell. Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time for a Wednesday. Doesn't matter that it's signing day. We still got to do our business and do the Crunch Exchange, which is brought to you by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Office is located 2260 Oakmont Way in Eugene. Phone number 541-484-2444. The high school Joey Harrington went to was Central Catholic High School, in case you were wondering. The winner has been notified via email by Steve. Anywho, huge news. Through text. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Huge news yesterday, then subsequently last night, then today, was whatever the heck Josh McDaniels was up to. So first he was going to be the Colts' next head coach. The team announced they had agreed to terms, scheduled and announced an introductory press conference, had all of his assistants already signed and in the building. Then around 5 o'clock last night, everything fell through. McDaniels changed his mind, will remain a Patriot, reportedly because he had a sit-down with Robert Kraft, who sweetened his contract a bunch to not only remain with New England, but to piss off the Colts, whom he hates with a passion. By the way, sweetened means to add sugar to. So what now? Head coaching jobs don't come along very often, and McDaniels failed at one and just screwed over another. But if he ends up replacing Belichick, probably worth it, right? For what it's worth, his own agent said today it was a mistake and left him as a client.
God.
So the prospectus, McDaniels staying a coordinator in New England was a mistake.
First of all, we asked what high school Harrington went to.
Yeah.
Somebody texted O'Hara. Isn't that an elementary school in Eugene?
That's like a middle school, I think. Yeah. That is.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I'm going to sell that. I think it's probably a good career move for him.
And now what the heck are the Colts supposed to do? They have assistants under contract who are now forced to work with a guy they probably don't even know. They're going to have to hire a guy who must work with those guys as well. Their owner has his own personal issues. Their quarterback's shoulder doesn't seem to want to stay attached to its body. And they only won 4 games last year with little hopes for the near future. Frank Reich, Leslie Frazier are named as candidates, but what can we expect? Coaches usually get a few years to turn around a franchise. So the prospectus, do you buy or sell the Colts getting above 500 in the next 3 years?
3 years.
I'm totally going to call you out on this in 3 years, too.
Put on the board.
By the way, so they have to win 9 games one time in the next 3 years. I'm going to sell that. I don't think they are. I think that division is pretty tough, too.
Especially if Andrew Luck is never healthy again,
right,
which it doesn't look like he's going to be. Peter King wrote an interesting column yesterday about Nick Foles and the Eagles. Much of the narrative after the Super Bowl MVP performance is that the Eagles should strike while the iron's hot and get some sucker team like the Browns to mortgage their future to get him. Well, King says that unless they literally get that offer, then Eagles GM Howie Roseman should just silence his phone and ignore everything. His point is that Philly has the best quarterback situation in the NFL by far, and that there's a huge value in that. He also points out that Carson Wentz will not be ready for the start of the season. Worst case is 10 months recovery time, and that'd be week 6 of the season. So the prospectus, Peter King is right. The Eagles should hold on to Foles.
There's a part of me that thinks it's a no-brainer, but part of me that thinks strike while the iron's hot. So I think they're going to, mainly because he's under contract, and they know now, heading into free agency and the draft, they could adjust their salary cap accordingly. And in that division with teams, they'll be the favorite going in. So I'm going to buy that. I think they should keep him.
Weird story in the Super Bowl is that could have contributed to full success was the Malcolm Butler saga. Guy who was a starter all season, played well for them most of the year, all of a sudden was benched for the biggest game of the year. He only played special teams as the Patriots defense got shredded up and down the field. There were a lot of rumors about why, including that Butler missed curfew because he went to a concert. Belichick just hit his limit and then benched him. Butler refuted that, saying he spent every night leading up to the game with his family and didn't miss or was late to anything. There has to be some reason, and no one seems to be talking. So the prospectus, you buy or sell that Butler didn't do anything to deserve the benching?
That's a good question. I can't imagine Belichick would put something petty above winning the freaking Super Bowl. So something happened. We're going to find out eventually. I have my top people on it. So I'm going to sell that.
Joel Berry of North Carolina said something this week that I know will make one person who listens to this show very angry. Triggered! When asked about the North Carolina and NC State matchup in hoops, said he doesn't view it as a rivalry. He said the only rivalry game North Carolina has is between them and Duke, and that they simply don't like NC State, but it's not actually a rivalry for them and not even close to the stakes they get from Duke Carolina. A little bit of truth there. No rivalry matches Carolina and Duke, but North Carolina and North Carolina State, it kind of has to be a rivalry, doesn't it? The prospectus, Joel Berry is off base in his comments about the North Carolina rivals.
He is. That's weird that he's a senior. If he were a freshman, because he's a Florida kid, I'd be like, he hasn't figured it out yet.
He's been around it.
But and my question here is, I don't think the players even determine that. The fans see it that way, so he's just flat wrong. So would that be a buy or sell?
So Berry is off base in his comments?
Yeah, completely. Sell that.
Well, by that, he's off base. Okay. One day we'll figure this out and make some
by
money.
By the way, real quick, somebody texted, did you quote Mitch Hedberg?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
That's what that was.
All right.
The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow at noon Pacific time. The Blazers have been eerily silent. They are in the same damn spot they always are, tied for sixth in the West with Denver. The NBA purgatory they have been used to for a very long time. And fans and players getting all angsty. So how long will Damian Lillard stick around in this environment? He told Paul Allen it will be a while, but who actually knows? DeAndre Jordan is out there. Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love out there. And there are other options that would probably make them better. The only trade bait they have, though, is Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, and CJ McCollum. They haven't had an offer for CJ that makes sense yet, but the prospectus, if the Blazers can get a high-level player like Thompson or Jordan and, say, a draft pick, they should move on from CJ.
Woof. Well, the bottom line is,
he said, woof.
As much as we like CJ McCollum and that backcourt, the goal is not to be liked. It's to vie for an NBA championship, which with the way Houston and Golden State look like right now, probably ain't some time coming anytime soon. But they need an elite frontliner, a rim protector. It'll be painful, and it would have to be a real score. But I think they more than seriously have to consider that, so I'll buy that. All right, and that does it for another scintillating chock full of fun edition.
Do you agree that that would probably be a tough sell to Blazer fans?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it would depend on what they get. Because, like, the rumor right now has been that they can get possibly, like, Tristan Thompson and, like, the Nets draft pick in a three-way deal or something like that. And if you can do that, but then you have to give up CJ. I mean, CJ's averaging over 20 points per game. He's, like, one of the, you know, the key cogs of the whole franchise right now. So,
question, though.
And how good are draft picks, really?
Right now in the NBA, 20 point a game, two guards.
A lot of guys do
19.
That. Yeah.
It's kind of like a wide receiver in the NFL. Everybody's got four that can play. I know that's kind of obnoxious and maybe taking a guy of his caliber for granted. But the thing is, I think you also have to decide, is it Lillard or is it McCollum that's the centerpiece of your franchise moving forward?
Lillard's not going anywhere. There's no chance of that. The only
now.
Yeah, well,
call
that's
me in
true.
2 years when he's knocking on the door for 30.
Well, the Blazers might not have a choice in 2 years because he might get fed up and just want to leave.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I've been drawing a Pacific Northwest parallel between he and Felix Hernandez, beloved, you know, the K corner and all that, and Lillard is one of the most popular Blazers since the last good team in the early 90s. But at a certain point, he's going to be like, you know, I've been here 9 years. We've advanced once on a buzzer beater. Then we beat the Clippers, who had everybody injured, and we're stuck in 44 win land. I'd really like to see what a conference final looks like. So, like you said, it might not be his final decision. All right, it is your Dr. Pepper Bigfoot Beverage signing day showcase. Got a little confused there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check in with Coach Cristobal and what he had to say at his first press conference. Coming at you next to start Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
This segment is sponsored by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. 2260 Oakmont Way, Eugene.